Trenchcoat Mafia. This is also Podcast X, episode 39. This week we're commemorating the death of one of comicdom's greatest heroes, the very patriotic hero. If you count being loyal to the country of Kanzak patriotic, because of course I'm talking about Mighty Isis. Yes, 52, issue 44 is what we are reviewing. And here's the cover, and we've got Isis reflected in a pool of blood, and it's like all splattery. Okay, that's a decent cover, I'll give them that. Not approved by the Comics Code, of course. And here we get the story. They're still doing that fake real-time thing here. It says week 44, day 1, we're in Kanzak, and Isis and Black Adam are just flitting about in the sky and stressing out because people are, like, dying or whatever there. There's a famine and drought and they're suffering and wah-wah, the usual. I do gotta say, Black Adam looks really gay with that fucking cape. Like, he used to, like, just have the top without the cape. It looked much cooler. Fortunately for us, the readers, after two panels of bitching and moaning, something actually happens and Black Adam gets struck by a lightning bolt and he hits the ground head first with the sound effect of Zoom. Not the first time we'll see that sound effect in this comic. And it's also a good segue. If you like Podcast X, go to Comic Book Noise, listen to Thoom. The lightning bolt was Osiris's powers returning to Black Adam. And Osiris was this Black Adam Jr. type character. I mean, it doesn't matter because, like, he's dead now. And here we have his bloody, half-eaten corpse, which looks awesome. I mean, we've got the exposed rib cage, and obviously the entity that ate him, like, ate all the guts and internal organs out of him because he's been hollowed out. One of his eyeballs is missing. And Adam and Isis discover the corpse. They freak out. And Sobek the Crocodile Man shows up and is like, yeah, I ate him. What? And it's cool because we got some good dialogue here. You would never get this in, like, an old-school 70s DC comic when DC was all squeaky clean and shit. This is, like, Marvel dialogue. Sobek's like, his flesh tasted like a rotting chicken. He was too stringy, and he's still stuck between my teeth. Okay, that's badass. You not only kill and eat a superhero, but then after having eaten him, you have the chutzpah to complain that he tasted bad. And, okay, flashback, yeah, exposition, yeah. And it turns out, like, Sobek is one of the DC Four Horsemen, as opposed to, like, Marvel's Apocalypse's Four Horsemen. And Sobek is Famine, which is what he has brought to Kanzak. Hey, fuck it, it's a Middle Eastern country, so you figure that's that many more dead potential terrorists anyway, so fuck them. And, you know, the other three horsemen show up, and this is good because Sobek just can't stop talking about eating Osiris. As he's, like, kicking Black Adam's ass, he's like, hey, let me tell you how I ate him. How his organs popped in my mouth like fresh grapes. Anyway, Isis is getting her ass kicked, and Adam kills Sobek. Remember, he's a crocodile man, by just taking his jaws and wrenching them apart. And I don't know how you'd say this sound effect. Or something, I don't know. This series has taken until, like, the past couple of weeks for anything really to, like, start happening. Because they're just gearing up to the next big event for the DCU, which is World War III, which is Black Adam versus the Earth. Which is why only 43, 44 weeks in do we actually have stuff happening. Most of the rest of the issues of this really blew. Weekly comic, bad idea. I liked issue 13. where like Sue Dibney seemed to have come back in the form of a scarecrow and elongated man, or however you say his name, was all like insane and freaky. Like, that was all cool. But that issue aside, yeah, so fighting, blood, more fighting. Okay, this is good. Pestilence spits this glowing green cancer vomit shit on Isis. And, Adam gets mowed down with the dude's machine gun arm or whatever. I don't know what the opposite of jumping the shark is, but whatever that would be is what 52 has done these past couple of weeks. Okay, Death shows up. More, Black Adam getting his ass kicked. That lets you know these guys are really badass, because Black Adam, power-wise, he's like on Superman's level, and these guys are just trouncing him. But, Isis, she's done. She's all infected and shit because of Pestilence. And he's like, yeah, I have spread my disease across her and inside her. Okay, I'm not going to touch that because it's too easy. And he's telling Death, she's ready for you. Death is cool because they gave him wings and shit, but like, you know, in the desert, in the old Bugs Bunny cartoons, you would see animal skulls with horns just sitting there in the desert. Like, that's what he's got for a face. So that, you know, that's decent. And, this comic is mostly a fight scene. But, Death is about to, like, actually kill Black Adam. He's, like, the last horseman left, because, like, Black Adam has been kicking much ass, finally. And, Isis's last act of heroism is to, like, use her lava powers, okay, whatever, to send him away. And she does. And, okay, this is good here. Because she has him so pussy whipped. He's like, oh, you were right all along. Oh, I'm so sorry. And she's like, no, you know what? Now that I'm, typical bitch, now that I'm dying, now I realize you were right. It was never you that needed redemption, she says. And this is great because with her last words, she's saying, avenge us. Yeah, well, now you know it's just the one. And there's a lightning bolt, and she's restored to her human form. And, oh yeah, Adriana, right, I forgot she was named, like, Adriana Tomas, which is, like, blatant PC shit, because in the old comics and on the old TV show, she was Andrea Thomas, so it's like, yeah, whatever. Okay, so, she came to her senses after it was too late for her. And cut to all this anticlimactic stuff wherein, I cannot say this, Nanda Parbat? I don't know. Renee Montoya and them, Richard Dragon, they know that Isis is dead because, like, a magic flower she made grow, like, died or some shit. Yeah, this sucks here. Well, it does and it doesn't. Because the question's dead, and, like, she tried to save him, and she failed because, you know, she's a chick. Even if she is a lesbo, she's still a chick, so, you know, incompetent, like Isis, but at least Isis got what was coming to her. And they're telling her, okay, now you've got to be the new question, which is not cool, but she's at least saying, look, I don't want to be. And they're like, look, we don't have that many issues left of the series, so, you know, come on. So she puts on the question's hat, and to be continued. And we got some scenes here from the next issue. It looks like Black Adam's kicking Montoya's ass. Looks like Death is about to give Black Adam what's coming to him, you know, for letting Isis pussy whip him. Who knows? We'll see. And, I don't know. I like the fact that, like, Isis died in this. That was cool. The horsemen were good. That fight really went on forever, though, and those last several pages in Nanda Parbat just went on and on. And after all the Black Adam stuff, it's like, oh, well, I don't even really care about this now. So, but, I was impressed by the Black Adam shit, though, generally, so I'll give it a 6, I suppose. Like I said, 52 has largely sucked, but, last week was good, this week was good. We'll see. I like the cover for the one that's coming out Wednesday. It's got Black Adam on his throne, like, surrounded with the corpses of his victims and whatever. And that's cool.
Oh, my queen, said the the royal sorcerer to Hatshepsut. With this amulet, you and your descendants are endowed by the goddess Isis with the powers of the animals and the elements. You will soar as the falcon soars, run with the speed of gazelles, and command the elements of sky and earth. 3,000 years later, a young science teacher dug up this lost treasure and found she was heir to the secrets of Isis. And so, unknown to even her closest friends, Rick Mason and Cindy Lee, she became a dual person, Andrea Thomas, teacher.
Oh, my God.
And Isis, dedicated foe of evil, defender of the weak, champion of truth and justice.
Well, yeah, we all remember... Well, no, that's a lie. Those of us who are old remember Isis from the old TV show. Yeah, I always... not good. The Shazam Isis Hour or whatever. And here we have Shazam issue 25, which is her actual first appearance back in 1976 in the comics. She appeared on TV first, which is why on the cover it's pimping Shazam, co-starring Isis, the Saturday morning superstars. And it's even pimping this comic as a DC TV comic. Man, they were so desperate. They could not give this fucking comic away. I don't even know how it made it to 25 fucking issues. I know at one point it went quarterly. It makes me think there must have been... They must have felt some need to keep this damn book in print. Because, not many issues after this, though. Television's favorite heroine, the splash page says, and that's a lie, because if I'm not mistaken, the Bionic Woman was going on the same time. Who would not fuck the young Jamie Summers? I mean, come on. So, bad title. I'm not even making this up. Isis, as in crisis. Hoo boy. Stories by Denny O'Neill, the guy who wrote those old preachy Green Lantern, Green Arrows. The art's not bad for this Isis lead story that's only guest starring Captain Marvel. It's by Dick Giordano, who went on to become some kind of a bigwig at DC. But his art is not the like cartoony style you would normally associate with an old Captain Marvel comic. So, yeah, we're introduced to Andrea Thomas here. They're wrecking an old school building. And the one dude, I guess they're teachers, the chick who's Isis and, like, this dude here with the 70s porno mustache. Because he's like, I'll miss the old place, Andrea. I will too, I guess, she says. Apparently they're building a new school on the same site, which is good because this building is, like, falling to pieces here. It looks like you just know it's, like, infested with rats and shit. But, as a wrecking ball hits the school, Isis's token ethnic friend, Cindy, who is some kind of Asian, is trapped. Well, it says she's trapped by that timber. Hoo boy. And just when you think it can't get any worse, she's like, it's worse! That wall is about to topple onto her! And, so she turns into Isis, and apparently it is Almighty Isis that she says, and not Almighty Isis. Okay. Her tits seem to grow when she becomes Isis, so that's cool. And this really sucks, and yeah, she did used to do this on the TV show. She has these, like, rhyming spells and shit. She's like, oh, ground beneath us all, bury the tumbling wall. Whatever. Yeah, and you'd think this girl would be grateful that, like, Isis just saved her from being killed. But no, she's like, oh, well, now if I could get this beam off me. So she has to do another rhyming, I'm not even gonna, you know what, fuck these rhymes. She saves her, okay? And then Captain Marvel shows up. It's like, okay, this is like page whatever of this Captain Marvel comic, and like he finally shows up. Now it's interesting because they actually draw him all cartoony, whereas everything else is relatively real looking. So I don't know how I feel about that, but okay, I'll accept that, I suppose. And, she's got some story, this Cindy broad, as to how she got trapped. She saw some, like, dudes sneaking around and shit. And Captain Marvel's like, I still don't know who you are or how you got your wondrous powers. She's like, hey, call me Isis. And then she has all this backstory. She's thinking to herself how she used to be an archaeologist. Wow, now she's a public school teacher, so she's really come down in the world. And she came across an amulet and a scroll, and boy, does she look like the world's biggest fucking geek here with, like, her glasses and shit, and she's got the Isis amulet on with the glasses. That's not a good look. The first time she cries out, Mighty Isis, and she gets transformed, it's interesting, because in this case, it's pretty obvious that her tits have shrunk, so I don't know what's up with that. But, yeah, Captain Marvel flies off, and, boy, I thought it was his book, but I must be wrong. And, okay, this is weird here. Okay, the little teenaged high school student, I'm assuming Asian broad, is, like, hitting on the teacher, and he actually says, and here's how you know, like, he's gay, you're young for me to be escorting to the theater, but you can borrow my car for your movie, as he tosses her his car keys? He's not gonna fuck her, but he's gonna trust her with, man, yeah. I'll just trust an Asian broad with my car. Yeah, good thinking, dude. Anyway, Cindy's moping. Man, not only is this not a Captain Marvel comic, this is not an Isis comic at this point, but okay. She's moping. She's like, Rick treats me like a child. Well, yeah, female, please. Child, same thing. And, you know, here's these dudes she was supposedly snooping on, acting shifty again, and she's going to follow them in the teacher's car. But they catch her, so that's good. And they had, like, have her tied up, and here she is, tied up in the car, with her breasts thrust out, looking panicked and frightening. Yeah, and dude's, like, smiling, because he knows she wants it. Oh, yeah, you can see it. But anyway, they go to kill her instead. Instead of fucking her, they're going to kill her. So, what? I don't know, maybe they're going to kill her, and then they're going to fuck her. Because they've got the car going on its own, like, off a cliff, and she's tied up and in the car and can't get... She's like Lois Lane, like in the old comics. This broad's always having to have Isis rescue her. You know what? At least this isn't like a Wonder Woman Steve Trevor thing, because, you know, Steve Trevor, weakest male on the planet, always needing Wonder Woman to save him. Ah, whatever. Okay, here she goes rhyming again, this fucking bitch. Oh, Zephyr winds that blow on high. Lift me up so I can fly. God, I want... Oh, you know what? At least she did die in 52, so okay, there is that. Even though this is the pre-crisis Isis, it's like, yeah, Isis is Isis is Isis, whatever. Oh, there's lots of cool ads, actually, in this comic that I'm gonna zip through, because who cares? But anyway, although I gotta give it to the scanner, because usually the scanners don't leave these old cool ads in the digital files, so okay. But, yeah, here she goes again. I'm not making up any of these rhymes. Cindy's car is going over the cliff. Isis is flying in to save her. She goes, O trees that grow to shade us all, grow taller now and stop the fall. Yeah. So, like, what happens is branches that are... No, they're not even there. Even though they are here in this panel before she says it. So, like, this is bullshit. But the caption says, instantly two oaks spring from the cliffside and catch Cindy's plunging automobile. Fucking bullshit. I'm looking at these branches. These branches are not catching this car, especially a car that just went over a fucking cliff. No, I'm not buying it. But what? Okay, here's the ultimate here. The bad guys, hey, don't even ask why they're bad guys. I don't know and I don't care. Are you, like, getting away and shit? Oh, apparently they stole a gold coin collection from a museum. Who cares? I'm sure they were, like, Egyptian coins or something, because it's got a tie-in with the whole Isis motif. Okay, fine. She casts, like, the stupidest spell ever here. Oh, little discs of shining gold, act to knock the robbers cold. Yeah. And the coins attack the robbers. They just go flying into their jaws and knock them out. And I don't know. Maybe Isis must have the power to alter the density of the stuff she's controlling, because first we have those super strong tree branches, now we have little coins knocking people out. Yeah, the chick's like, this is pretty sexy here, actually. Isis has Cindy in her arms as she's flying, and Cindy's like, I can't possibly thank you, Isis? Meaning that she does want to thank her, in a sexual way. But like Isis has to be all goody-goody, she's like, you can thank me by avoiding trouble. Okay, here she goes. They used to do this on the fucking Isis TV show. Isis is looking at us, the readers, and she is giving us the moral of the story. Like her name's Sailor Moon or some shit. And she's telling us, seeking danger for its own sake, or to impress others, is never wise. We should each do what we can, as well as we can. So, in other words, like if you have no skills or talents and you're basically useless, hey, just accept your lot in life and go pump some gas. So, wow, I mean, fuck you, Isis. Jesus Christ, you're a bitch. Hey, again, that's why she had to die. That only could have been better if she was eaten by a crocodile man. And this last panel, okay, I just give up, because now she's She-Hulk. Now she's breaking the fourth wall, in a bad way. She literally turns to the reader, and she's like, see you soon in the first issue of my own magazine. On sale, the third week in July! Wow. Wow. Okay, yeah, then there's a Captain Marvel story, but that really sucks. Boy, that was painful is what that was. Onto the Captain Marvel story. Oof. You know, I don't know. I like the old, like, 40s, 50s Captain Marvel stuff, but in the early 70s, when they tried to recreate the whole whimsical Captain Marvel thing, it just didn't work. And then it got like, oh, well, you know, we can't bring back Captain Marvel like this because readers don't like whimsy. It's not that, it's that readers don't like bad whimsy. Because, hey, remember, it's 1976, so here we are, Captain Marvel's going to fight, the title tells us, the Bicentennial Villain. Hoo boy. You know, this is cool here. I always liked, like, the Seven Deadly Enemies of Man statues. That's just fucking inspired. There's just something about these dudes that's, like, cool. And getting back to 52, Captain Marvel in that is pretty much insane, and he hears their voices in his head whispering to him and fucking with him, and that's even cooler. But, yeah, you know what? I refuse to review this story. This is just bad. No, wait, I can do this, as bad as it is. Okay, we have young Billy Batson here, and he's not working for Wiz Radio anymore. Apparently, just like Clark Kent wound up working for Galaxy Broadcasting, he's working for Wiz TV now, okay? And apparently, he's working the camera for this special these guys are filming about, quote, young people in American history. And, like, one of the young people we're seeing here is, like, okay, Billy even says, how about Pocahontas? She was only 12 or 13 when she saved Captain John Smith. Okay, first of all, that story is some bullshit. I mean, we all know that now. Thank you. Second of all, you know, people rag on Starhawk and myself for the pedophilia stuff. 12 or 13? And, you know, I've seen sources that say, like, as young as 10. And dude marries the little nubile, like, probably prepubescent Indian chick. Like, what was up with that? I don't know. They're filming a scene here with, as they say, young Kit Carson with his little Davy Crockett cap on. And he, this being a DC comic from the 70s, he is attacked by a bear, for real, for no apparent reason. Just so Captain Marvel has an excuse to, like, fight the bear. This is good, though. All right, I'll give it to them for this one panel. The bear is biting down on Captain Marvel's arm, and he's, like, breaking his teeth. And Captain Marvel, being a dick, now I normally like Captain Marvel, but he is being a dick here. He says, keep that up, and you'll need a lot of dental work. But first, I better give you an anesthetic. And he punches him, and I shit you not, they have the little cartoon stars around the bear's head. Yeah. Here they are. Here's this. They're spinning and everything. It's a cartoon. And then they're filming a scene with an actor reenacting Buffalo Bill Cody at 14, riding a horse, because it's like, oh, hey, look at the, you know, they had kids doing the Pony Express shit. And somebody sets off fireworks in front of the horse. And this is actually a pretty boring action scene because, okay, well, the horse is spooked and almost throws him. Captain Marvel saves him and the horse before this kid can become the next Christopher Reeve. So that's it. Hey, it actually reminds me. You know, and Timmy Thum, you can, like, comment on the blog about this since you're John Byrne's number one fanboy. Byrne actually made comments about Christopher Reeve right after he died to the effect of, hey, fuck him. He wasn't a hero anyway. He was just a cripple. He didn't give a shit about all this cripple shit before he got crippled. So, I don't know. It kind of makes John Byrne an asshole in my book. But okay. Here we go. They're on a boat for some reason. Some other reenactment. Blah, blah, whatever. You know, I have no idea how you pronounce this guy's name. Is it Savannah or Savannah? I don't know. I'll go with Savannah. Dr. Savannah, the little, like, creepy-headed dwarf, mad scientist, enemy of Captain Marvel, turns out to be behind everything. He's got a gag on... Okay, here he goes, doing the Dr. Evil thing. He's got the gag on Billy Batson. Batson cannot say Shazam. He can't turn into Captain Marvel. What does Savannah do? Granted, he does take a hatchet and put a hole in the ship, and water's coming in, and Billy's going to drown. He's got a hatchet. He can chop Billy's head off here. He never has to worry about Captain Marvel ever again. He can kill him. But no, he does this elaborate thing, and then, of course, leaves. Austin Powers was so right to make fun of this shit. And, because sure enough, Billy works a splinter of the wood to get the gag off of himself, says Shazam, turns into Captain Marvel, saves the boat, and I guess whoever else is on it. Savannah's on the run, and he's saying, what is he saying? I don't know. Oh, yeah. Heh, this is talk about an elaborate, unnecessarily elaborate plan. Savannah's threatening via note to, quote, destroy America city by city until I am acknowledged rightful ruler of the universe. And then he actually, what is he, the Riddler? He actually tells whoever's reading this note, my first stop is Washington, D.C. And he signs it, Dr. T.B. Savannah. And I'm thinking, why doesn't he just put P.S.? That's Washington, D.C. If you would like to send the Justice League or whoever after me to stop me, that is where I will be first. Bad villain. And, like, okay, here's the last panel, and, like, the owner of Wiz TV is, like, watching, like, whatever footage Batson shot. And, like, this is the transition here, actually, where with the next issue, because this is kind of to be continued, I think, like, this white-haired dude, his boss, becomes, like, the mentor character in the TV show, and this Savannah going after America one city at a time is the excuse to get him and Billy Batson in the RV, going cross-country, just like in the TV show, because wasn't nobody buying no Shazam, so it's like, well, fuck it, people watch the TV show, we'll make this more like the show, and maybe people will buy the book. They did that, but of course, you know, it failed, and here we have the letters page, titled Shazam Mail. I just wanted to say that because that annoys me. And one of the letters is by Don Glut, who should be ashamed of himself because he was like in his 30s or 40s by this time. Yes, the same Don Glut who wrote the Empire Strikes Back book. And he's writing... here he is as an adult, as a middle-aged adult probably. He's writing fan letters to Captain Marvel. I don't know. Yeah, okay, well, I give that a... Man, you know what? I'll give it a 2 overall because I liked the art in the first story. And there was the possibility Isis and that Chinese chick could have gotten it on. And maybe they did between panels and I missed it somehow. Who knows? Yeah, so 52, sorta good. Shazam, steaming pile of horse shit. You'll all be very happy to know that next week there will be a co-host. And I am out of here.
Blow on high, lift me now. so I can fly.